Welcome back for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Live from West Virginia University, a syndicated show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practices. Michael Lynch is the host today, a professor from DePaul University, recently serves as the director of loyalty marketing and market research at Let Us Entertain You. If for no other reason than that, we're bringing him on here because that's got to be the most clever name I've ever heard. Like lettuce that you eat, Let Us Entertain You. I love it. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, how's it going today? I tell you, working for Let Us Entertain You, it was a company that definitely had a sense of humor.
I can see that. What did they do? What was Let Us Entertain You?
We have a little bit over 100 restaurants, mostly in the Chicago market, some in D.C., some in California, some in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I always forget, Las Vegas, of course.
Restaurants
out in Las Vegas.
Right. So you did market research for them, and what were they trying to figure out? What items work? What customers come in the places? What improvements they could make?
Actually, it had a lot to do with getting people to come back. I was very much involved in customer relationship marketing, and my tagline was, it's not my responsibility to get them through the door. It's my responsibility to get them back through the door.
I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah,
all right.
And, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hope we'll do a show on that someday because I think loyalty marketing is a misunderstood. There's so much effort into the initial get them in, do anything, coupons, ads, whatever. And then we never even track or worry about if they come back again.
I could not agree with you more. It's a very important topic. And repeat visitation, repeat buying is really where most profits come from.
Well, today you're going to talk about something else that I don't think gets enough attention here. Can you see me now defining the unique attributes that make up your personal brand? Boy, I don't think most of us think we have a personal brand, particularly if we're in corporate America here. But you're going to dispel that notion today here.
Well, if I'm not going to dispel it, I know Hugo Perez will. We're very lucky today to have Hugo Perez with us, and he's going to talk to us today about personal branding. And there's been a lot of chat lately with the advent of the internet, the advent of social media, that many organizations feel that they're losing the ownership of their brands. They feel that the ownership of their brands have been turned over to their customer. Hugo, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for being on today. How exactly does one create a personal brand? I mean, what is all this chat about personal brands? Is it really necessary?
Well, you know, what you said at the beginning of your definition of this topic today, the rise of the digital era is really what all this buzz is about. Ever since the rise of the digital era, we've become more connected than ever before. And particularly over the last 10 years or so, we've gone from having to hand out business cards everywhere we go to being in this always connected world where, you know, it's easy with the swipe of a phone to find out all the information about people around you. So this idea of having to know who your personal brand is or what your personal brand is has really taken hold. And it's something that's become almost necessary for us to better define ourselves, at least if we're trying to engage in the world around us and sharing opinions and being hired and just being relevant in the marketplace. So I like to say you don't have to define yourself, but for better or for worse, we now live in a world that can and will define you if you don't.
Wow, that is really amazing. Does everybody really need a personal brand, or how does somebody really identify what their personal brand is?
I would tell you, no, everyone doesn't need a personal brand unless you want to be relevant and engaged and be known for what you want to be known for. Particularly those of us that work in the business place, in the marketplace. As I mentioned, the world around us is defining people. Just cursory looks at people. So you don't have to work at developing your personal brand, but the sheer essence, the sheer value of what you do day in or day out is going to define it anyway. So having a little forethought, a little bit more of front of mind thinking about what your personal brand is and how you're being perceived might be worthwhile for you to consider since others are already doing it for you.
Is personal branding really about selling something or being a salesman, or could an architect or an accountant have a personal brand?
Well, personal branding is definitely becoming a monetized opportunity nowadays. In essence, defining your personal brand is more about having clarity on who you are and the value that you provide and what you see in yourself and what others see in you. So hopefully people get that this is more than just selling something or more than just social media status. It's more about defining who you want to be. So can an architect have a personal brand? Most definitely, because if I'm an architect that wants to be hired, I want people to hire me because they know the value I bring. Maybe I have a modern aesthetic that everyone should be aligned to, and that's the kind of people that I want to work with. By defining my personal brand, I'm able to have people see me that way. So, I would say there are things that we should be considering in ourselves and how we're being perceived by in the world, so that we can be most effective in who we want to be. But it's not always about selling a specific product or a business. I like to think it's more about unlocking opportunity or potential. It's delivering your brand clearly and consistently so that you can create a memorable experience in the minds of people you interact with, and can open doors for yourself to new opportunities. Sometimes that means a payday. Other times that might mean access to experiences or an ability to influence or to shape the culture around us.
You know, I recall, and I've told my children this, that be careful what you put on Facebook, be careful what you put on LinkedIn, be careful what you put on Instagram. Who really is paying attention and who is making judgments on what your personal brand is?
Yeah, you know, the cautionary guidance that you're giving your kids is really important, because in some ways, everyone is paying attention. We just have to determine who and what matters to us. So the rise of this digital age that we're in over the last 10 years and moving forward means that what we put out there, our digital footprint, will follow us. So in personal relationships, how you're perceived can mean the difference between, you know, a robust dating life or Friday nights at home alone. But professionally, your personal brand helps you be distinguished in the workplace. There are many qualified candidates out there. And so one key way to impress recruiters is to be an authentic, engaged, and unique personal brand out there. Let all the different things that you're doing out into the world and putting out into the digital space define who you want to be in the way that's authentic to you. And, you know, one key way to earn a promotion or to add responsibilities at your workplace or to uncover a new opportunity is by ensuring that your uniqueness comes across to those that you work with. And then I remember that it's all associated with your reputation. Your personal brand is, in essence, your calling card, what you're known for and how people experience you. So it could mean being invited to participate in a cool opportunity or being kept off that list altogether.
Now, you bring up something very interesting, which is when I think about branding, I'm thinking about selling something or maybe making something marketable. But you've talked a little bit about branding to the people that are around you, the people you work with, the people who may consider you for a promotion or for an interesting opportunity. Is branding to those, is really creating a brand for yourself, or let's say even changing your brand when you're not looking for a new job, when you're not looking for something new, when you're not looking to sell something, is changing your brand or maintaining your brand really important?
I think being authentic to who you are is always important. So I'm cautious of that word changing your brand, because in essence, who we are should always be the same. And if you're really honest with yourself and spend the time to really think about this, you realize that there's some values and some components of who you are as an individual that are true no matter what the circumstance is. So the underlying principle to me, the underlying thought pattern here in a personal brand, it's not about putting lipstick on a pig. It's not about, you know, trying to be something that you're not. It's about learning how to be your true, authentic self and then using that when needed to leverage for opportunities. A couple of examples come to mind. In the marketing world, if I were to say the name Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, many, many people in the marketing world know that name. Why? Because he has taken his personal brand. He's a brash, clear, transparent, direct kind of marketer. And he's talked always from that very, I'm going to tell you the truth point of view. And what he's done is he's become this giant voice in the industry. And, you know, what makes him so important and impactful is that he's clear, he's consistent, and he's seemingly everywhere. He has certainly leveraged all this recognition to build huge businesses, but really what he's done is be his own true self always. I think also in entertainment, if I mention the name Chip and Joanna Gaines, they've built this gigantic empire of home renovation and home building. But in essence, if you were to break down who they are, they would probably say they're all about family first and creating family experiences. And so they've been authentic to who they are. And by being authentic, it's built opportunity. So we've got to be conscientious of that as we're considering who we are and how we're putting our brand into the world. And that's when the opportunities come.
What can a person do if the brand that they're trying to put out there is not the brand that they're being perceived? You know, maybe I know a lot about database marketing. I know a lot about analytics, but my boss and the people around me, that's not how they see me. They see me as just somebody who writes good copy or makes pretty pictures or is, you know, has great interpersonal skills. How can I really express the brand I'm trying to convey?
You know, what's wonderful about the world that we live in today is that there's so many channels to express who you really want to be and who you really are. In the scenario that you present, I would challenge the individual to really think, what is it that I'm doing in other areas of my life that represent what I truly am skilled at, what I'm passionate about, what I'm involved in? How am I representing that in all parts of my life? So, could that mean that this person should create a portfolio online? Should they be writing content that expresses their point of view or their skill set that they put on publicly viewable panels? I think of Medium as a great spot to showcase your ideas and your thoughts in a great way. Should the photos and the things that they post on their Instagram and on their Twitter feed and on other channels, should those reflect the values and the things that are important to them? From a professional point of view, what I would say is be aware that your presence is being seen across all these channels and input into your presence on all these channels the things that matter to you, so that then when you sit down with your boss and you say, hey, I really want to talk about this area that I'm really passionate about, it's not a, you know, just something being pulled out of the air, but it's something that you have demonstrable examples that you can say, look, I wrote about it this year, or I spoke at this conference there, or I went and I chatted with a group of students over here, and look, I talk about this all the time on my Instagram feed. It becomes you unleashing who you are throughout so that people see that that's authentically you and something that you have value in, that you can add value to.
Yeah, that's great. We very often, some of the students coming out of school, their brand appears to the market to be young, to be inexperienced, to not have a brand that really carries much value. Just briefly, are there any ideas or any suggestions that you could have for somebody who's just entering the work world or entering adulthood, if you will, to really set forth a brand?
Yeah, I would tell you, consider these two questions. I would say, ask yourself, what makes you distinctly you? Really spend some time really marinating on that question and really pulling out the essence of what makes you distinctly you. And then number two, what can you offer that provides value to those that encounter you? So once you know what makes you you and then how to take that and add value to others, you have the starting point of a great personal brand that can be used to unlock opportunities for yourself.
Excellent, Hugo. Thank you so much. We're going to take a little break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the components of what makes up a personal brand and how you can fit not only your personal life, but also your professional life into what makes you you.
And while you're pondering those questions, we want you to remember that today's program is brought to you by West Virginia University's Online Data Marketing Communications Program, the first graduate program of its kind in the country, focusing on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making. Data Marketing Communications Program prepares you for your career by learning those innovative tactics from award-winning faculty like the people with us today. You can learn more. Just go type in these letters, DMC for Data Marketing Communications, DMC.WVU for West Virginia University, DMC.WVU.EDU. Nine letters that'll change your life, DMC.WVU.EDU. All right, and after they've typed that in, they can find out more about conversations like this that can change your life. You know, I have one quick question for you guys here. Does anybody teach? You're at DePaul University, and we're talking about West Virginia University and all these places. I've never seen a course on personal branding. They don't make you think about your personal brand when you're in college, do they?
Hugo, you want to take that one first?
Well, I personally have guest lectured on personal branding at universities, and you know, I'm available to continue to talk about this, but I haven't seen an ongoing course semester long or anything like that at, yet established, although there's many, many organizations and courses and masterminds and things that are teaching personal branding all over the world.
I agree. I think it is an area that is very, very important and probably is something that should be considered by advisors and other career counselors in the university environment to help the students to understand why they're working so hard for the degree, why they're working so hard to get ahead, and exactly how they need to market themselves. Because I think one of the best assets and the most important assets that one has to market is oneself. And I think having that kind of training or that kind of input in a university environment would be very, very helpful. But let's move on, Hugo. Let's talk for a second about what are the components of one's personal brand.
Great. So let me just reaffirm then what was said right before the break in terms of the two questions to ask to get to that. What makes you distinctly you, and what value does that offer to the world? In essence, when we boil down what a personal brand is, you could say that those are the key components or the key things that contribute to uncovering what's in your personal brand. But then when we look at it in the broader sense of literal components, what are the things you've got to think about? You've got to think about things as far and wide as the voice and the tone that you use in terms of how you communicate to the world, the channels that you're engaging with. You should look at your personal look and feel. You know, frankly, a lot of people forget that how you literally look impacts your personal brand as well. Are there unique things about you that define you, who you are, even when people don't hear you or see you? And then you start thinking about how it is that you contribute what you contribute. Are you a writer? Are you a speaker? Are you someone that creates content? Are you someone that consults or gives strategy? Are you someone that, you know, is just a thought leader, shares esoteric kind of things that have a lot of deep value to them? So all these various things become a part of that persona, and they're all individualized because it depends on what you bring to the table. But it all starts with understanding what makes you you and what value do you give out. And, you know, I'll tell you, a lot of my colleagues that work in this space and coaching people on personal brand will probably agree that we've come to realize that the true value of uncovering your personal brand is determining how you can provide value to others. Because when others sense that there's a value that you have to give, it makes you more important, it makes you more worthwhile to engage with, and it highlights your personal brand all the more.
I can see where this really fits in the components of what I have to offer in a work environment, but what about my personal passions? What about the things I love to do outside of work? Can I really work that into creating my personal brand?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, while what you do or what you talk about changes and evolves over time in the workplace, and the business world needs might change from time to time, who you are at your core should remain the same. The components of what makes you you, your values, your personality, your story, and your passions should remain pretty consistent. You know, if it moves you and if it defines your why, then you should figure out how to fit it into your story. And the reason I'm confident that these things stay the same is because otherwise we would live in a world, kind of a schizophrenic world, where every time you engage with someone, you're trying to figure out who they are and how do I relate to them. And that's not really the case. By and large, we tend to be who we are all the time. So let's just be reflective, introspective, figure out what moves us, and put that as part of our story as we're sharing our personal brand. And your personal passions, oh my gosh, they need to be a part of that, because they allow you to be authentic and transparent. And, you know, they allow you to be conscious and passionate as you craft the career that you want.
No, that's really great. I know that not everybody came to listen to Shakespeare today, but what I'm hearing from you is what I remember from Hamlet: till thine own self be true, and as the day follows the night, you can be false to no man. It sounds like the best brand, and probably some of the best brands out there in the world, are true to themselves. They're authentic, they're consistent, and they give the buyer what they're anticipating, and the buyer's not disappointed when they interact with that brand. But is this a short-term strategy, or is this a long-term strategy? Is this something you need to keep, be aware of throughout your life and keep developing? Or can I just, is it just like one and done? Can I got to get it done and get out of here?
You know, personal branding is both short and long-term. In the short term, it's about capitalizing on what you have to offer right now and figuring out the best and most unique ways to present that to the world so that it begins unlocking the opportunities you're seeking. And that can be professional or personal, because you're just trying to be, like you just said, in the words of our friend Shakespeare, you know, you're trying to be true to yourself. And so when you can understand who you are and what you want to get out of the world, you can relax into yourself, and it's not all, you're not playing a role anymore. You're just comfortable with what you have to offer, and you're maximizing those opportunities. In the long term, it's about your legacy, really. What do you want people to know you for, and how will people talk about you when you're not in the room? Will they even talk about you at all? But I believe that by defining your authentic, transparent, personal brand, you have the opportunity to shape the narrative of who you are in this world. And to me, that's really powerful.
That's great. You said something about appearances, too. And just briefly, something that I've heard or something I've been told is that I should always dress for the next job, or dress for the job that I want to get promoted to. Is the way you look, and I guess the other way to put it is, how do I use my appearance to maximize the transmission of what my brand really is all about?
Well, you know, our parents and our grandparents were taught that, you know, a business suit, a tie, a formal dress is how you work in the business place. In today's world, we're a little bit more, there's a little more room to express your personality. So I would say, as you consider your appearance, it's not about a gimmick. It's not about adding a little trick or a little pop of something here and there if it's, that's not who you are. But it's about discovering those things about your personal appearance that you enjoy, that you celebrate regularly, whether or not someone is watching, and figuring out how can I make that an ongoing part of who I am. So if you were to see me on an ongoing basis, all my friends would tell you I own about 30 different scarves, and I use them year long. And in the winter, in the summer, it doesn't matter. I'm a scarf guy. So that becomes a little kind of mnemonic when people see me. Oh, that's the scarf guy. Hopefully they'll connect the scarf guy with a great storyteller and a great brand marketer and a great strategist. But it's the scarf that gets them in the hook in their brains to connect them with me. And that's great.
That is great. Just really quickly, what is your connection to West Virginia University and the data marketing communications?
I spent many years as an adjunct there teaching in the online graduate program, a variety of courses on marketing and digital marketing and things like that. So I've enjoyed a great relationship there. I want to say something like 6 or 7 years teaching all sorts of students there. And so it's a great program and a great place to learn and get prepared for the future.
Excellent. And thank you again, Hugo. We want to thank Hugo Perez for being our guest today. And I think we've talked about some things today that we all can put to use right away. And again, thank you, Hugo.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another episode of right here from West Virginia University, WVU Marketing Communications Today, right here in the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.